what they do. They're going to take care of you with either your personal checking, your business checking, mortgages, agriculture, wealth management, and private banking. What they're going to do, go in, tell them Steen sent you, open up an account, and see what you can do with that commitment that you can count on. Once again, I want to thank Northwest Bank for being a part of the program. Member FDIC. My next guest is Mr. David Eicholt. He is at David Eicholt on Twitter. David, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, man? Good to be talking to you. Thanks for having me back.
We are getting
going well, man.
It's going well. Good. We are getting to that time where we're getting close. It's going to, you know, start doing our weekly thing and talking Iowa Hawkeye stuff. I have to tell you that. So one of my good friends, he coaches ninth grade and varsity basketball at Dowling and had my boys and helped me with my eighth grade when I was coaching for eighth grade basketball as well. I was going to have an interview with him yesterday, and he happens to also be Caitlin Clark's personal trainer. And I got to talk to Caitlin Clark on the radio yesterday, and she is very, very excited about next year, and she has every right to be excited. What's your take on that Iowa Hawkeye women's basketball team?
They are going to be good.
Yes.
I mean, I know it's very simple analysis, but really, I mean, they get Monica Sozano back, which, you know, I know all the attention on Caitlin Clark, well-deserved, obviously, but Monica Sozano is the most efficient post scorer in the country. I think getting Molly Davis is a huge, huge, huge addition to this next year's team. I think she can, you know, a little bit undersized guard, but she can shoot the ball. She's another person that can create off the dribble, Steen. I think you and I have talked about that. They need that other playmaker that can really create off the dribble to take some pressure off Caitlin. I think Molly Davis can do that. I'm expecting a big season from Kylie Feuerbach. I think she has the potential to, you know, become a better three-point shooter. I think she can finish at the rim as well. So if she can turn up another notch, that'd be a great thing for the team. I would love to see maybe, you know, Taylor McCabe be able to contribute off the bench as a true freshman, maybe as just a three-point sniper. Hannah Stolke, I'm very excited about. I mean, they have a great freshman class coming in. And obviously, McKenna Warnock, I think, is a huge X factor to the team. But I would say also Kate Martin is the glue of that team.
So absolutely.
They have a lot of pieces returning. They have a lot of weapons. Defense rebounding is obviously a story, and I also think they need that third consistent go-to score to take some pressure off Caitlin Clark, because I think that's going to be the key to really, really unlocking next year's potential.
Here's the biggest thing that I took from the interview that we had yesterday, too, is that I asked her some of the things that she was working on, and I said, you know, I get some inside information because Kevin and I are such good friends. You know, sometimes you don't like to go to your left, and sometimes you have places on the floor you don't like to go. And the last one, which was the most interesting one, and especially when Monica's not in the game, is to get Caitlin more in that post-up mode, where then she can pass out of that post-up mode and also score more out of that post-up mode and draw fouls. I think that's going to be something that they're going to take a look at this year as well.
I think that'd be a really interesting dynamic. But I'd also say this, if you can do that, if she can do the post-up, I mean, obviously Iowa's going to need some three-point shooters. And I think Gabby Marshall's another name. I think if she can have a big bounce-back year to extend the range, I think that'd be a good thing. And it's funny that you mentioned that, not to switch over to the boys' team too much, Steen, but I do think that's something that's going to happen with Chris Murray. I think Chris Murray's going to work back to basket a little bit. And he is a better passer than Keegan. So I think, you know, Iowa with Peyton Sanford and a couple other three-point shooters, I think that will be something the men's team will explore as well.
The really funny thing, and I agree, let's talk about that men's basketball team for a second. The thing that I like the most about Chris Murray is, even if you put them both together, and I said this when he was being looked at in the draft, people are looking at him going, okay, there's a lot of similarities. Well, the thing that I like about Chris the most is they're almost a 180 from each other on how they approach the game, how they think about the game. That's why he's such a good passer, because that he's always, I think, been not yelled at is the wrong word. He wants to pass the ball more than he wants to score the ball. He wants to be that facilitator, and he's going to get the chance to do both, but he's going to have to give them 16, 17, 18 points a game as well. But I think people are going to be very surprised at his ability to lead and just his all-around game, and how much parts of his game are already better than Keegan's.
And here's what I would say, too. I mean, Chris is such an interesting topic of conversation, so you can go a lot of different ways with this. But Chris it, you know, people talk about Luka Garza's rise. They talk about Keegan's rise, right? This is the first time, not counting Luka Garza's senior year, okay? This is the first time people are expecting some crazy historic season from a player. Yes, people expected Keegan to take a step forward, correct?
Yep.
Nobody expected for him to do what he did. People expected Luka to take a step forward his junior season. Nobody expected him to do what he did. Is Luka senior, again, different story. But you think about Chris. People are expecting Chris to replicate Keegan. A couple of things behind that, Steen. One, I think that's disrespectful to both players.
Yeah.
This is Chris's team. This is going to be Chris's legacy, individual legacy. Appreciate Keegan for what Keegan was. This is what Chris is. They're still two different players despite having a lot of similarities. And number two, Steen, Chris has more proven health than Keegan. Chris will not be as relied upon to go give you a 25 and 10 a game, right?
Yeah.
They have Patrick McCaffrey, who I think can take a step forward. Peyton Sanford's going to take a step forward. I think Philip Rocha is going to be even better next year. I expect him to take a step forward as well. And Tony Perkins, I think, has potential to be an all-conference caliber guard over the next couple of seasons. I'm very high on him. And then you look at, you know, there's bits and pieces everywhere, right? So Chris is going to be expected to do some good things. But people should not be expecting him to put up some crazy historic season. And on top of that, he doesn't need to. If he can go out there and average 17, 18, 7.5, 8 rebounds a game,
maybe a block or two,
I think you're looking at a guy that goes top 20 in the draft, maybe potential lottery if he shoots 40% plus from three.
Yep, I agree. And I agree with you on Patrick McCaffrey. What he showed in that last game, even though it didn't end the way that Iowa fans would have liked, everybody else was being very timid, and it wasn't like that Iowa team. He wasn't. He was going at that team. That's the thing I think that Patrick can expand on, and I think that he can be – it's really going to help him. Here's the one thing I think they're going to miss, and I cannot believe I'm saying this, but I actually do, because no matter – Jordy Bohannon, as an Iowa State fan or whatever, that's the fun give and go, you know, back and forth. They're gonna, not that he had a great year last year, they're going to miss him, because when things went bad, he was the calming force, because he'd go up to him and go, listen, this is not a big deal. Let's go. They're going to miss that. So the other McCaffrey is going to have to take care and kind of be that Jordy Bohannon. You know, Connor's going to have to do that and be that glue. If he can do that, I think that'll be a huge part. He doesn't need to play a bunch of minutes unless he's playing well, but he has to be the glue.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, you talk about Jordan Bohannon. I know people like to say he played 8 years of college. It's a funny joke and all of that. But, I think on top of that, too, Steen, people don't realize how much Jordan Bohannon's just spacing alone did for Iowa's offense. He's a big reason why Keegan was able to operate. Obviously, Keegan hit these ridiculous fadeaway shots, crazy athletic. And I think the biggest difference for Keegan, and this is where I want to see Chris take a step forward, Keegan – from year one to year two, began to understand how good he is. And he stepped on the floor with that mentality that he is the best player on the floor. Chris needs to take that same approach next year. If he can go out there and say, I'm the best player on the floor, he will go in and dominate night in, night out, because he has potential to be. But I absolutely agree with you on Connor McCaffrey. And Connor McCaffrey is probably one of the best leaders I've been around since I started covering the college beat, you know, at Iowa and Nebraska. People like to say, yeah, he's Fran's son, yeah, yeah, yada. But Connor is incredibly, incredibly respected in that locker room, and not just among the basketball locker room. I'm talking about an athlete in general, the Iowa athletes in general. Like, Connor is one of the biggest leaders, I think, on Iowa's campus from an athletic standpoint and doing things for the community, et cetera, et cetera. So I think Connor can take that step forward. Again, I think Chris needs to take that step forward. But you also look at, you know, the rest of the team, Steen. These are guys that – there's proven health this year. These guys have been around the Big Ten block. Last year, like I said, look at Jordan Bohannon, you look at Connor, you look at Keegan, right? Outside of that, how many proven contributors were there besides Keegan Murray?
Right.
And that's where the biggest question mark for that team was last year. So, yeah, Iowa loses Keegan this year. You realize the expectations are even higher this year, going into this year, than last year. That's because they have more proven help right now and more proven leadership.
Once again, we're talking to David Eicholt. He is at David Eicholt on Twitter. Okay, so talking about leadership and talking about what can happen if you have it and you can bestow it upon your teammates. Spencer Petras, what is expectations right now in Iowa City with his – take the quarterback stuff away, his leadership and his ability to get the team to rally behind him.
I think the one thing people should not be criticizing, there's two things I don't think you can criticize Spencer about. One is his work ethic. I mean, you know, I've been told by multiple people on and off the record that he's the, I hate to use the cliche saying,
last one
first
in.
Guy in, last guy yeah. out. You know, I hate you saying that, but he's a film room junkie. I've heard that him and Brian Ferentz are off to a really, really strong start between the quarterback coach and the quarterback relationship. And, you know, I think people should not be questioning Spencer's leadership. I think the way he, you know, at times when he's gone out there and struggled, he's come out, faced the media every single time, been incredibly respectful, talks highly of his teammates. I think specifically about the Outback Bowl. You know, Iowa had a chance. It just didn't end up panning out at the end. He was the first guy out of the locker room to talk to the media, didn't shortchange us and talk to us. So I think you talk about from a maturity standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, I don't think there's any questioning of Spencer Petras from that aspect. Obviously, it's all going to come down to production. The reality is we can hear all the great quotes. We can hear all the behind-the-scenes stuff. But there's one thing that people are looking for seeing at this point. Production, production, production. Because yep. that's going to dictate if Iowa wins the West or not next season.
And that I mean, it's a lot of pressure. You know, we put a – the really funny thing is – And here's my issue with the NCAA. It's my issue with commissioners of these leagues and coaches almost to a certain point, too. You want them to show that leadership and that adultness and all of that, and you crave it from them. But you take it like – take name, image, and likeness. Oh, my gosh, it's going to ruin the game because they're just kids. You know, what do they – okay, you can't expect them to be grown – excuse my language – grown men – and then when something else comes up that they should get the same respect for, tell them, oh, yeah, they're just kids. What do they know? I mean, that's the problem that I have with the NCAA and everything is that, you know what, if you're going to treat them like grown men, then let's treat them like grown men.
You know, Steen, might not be the best comparison, but this is what I think of. You're exactly right, and it's the same thing about you can be 18 and go in the Army. And, you know, you can go and see horrific things overseas. You can do things for your country, but you can't go to a bar and order a Bud Light
yep.
for 3 years, right? And, you know, again, might not be the best comparison. That's exactly what I think of because, oh, they're just kids. They're not mature enough. But that's almost the way the NCAA approaches a lot of these situations. And, you know, I will say, and this is where it gets interesting too, Steve. You talk about NIL and everything. We've always said they're just kids. They're playing a game, yada, yada, yada. They're making money now at this point, yep. Steen. I mean, can we really keep going down that route? And I'm not saying it's open season to say, you know, insult players and make it personal or anything like that. But I think we're really going to see the line of real criticism against college athletes like we haven't seen in years. Because guess what? We aren't going to be getting the Mike Gundy, I'm a man on 40 anymore.
No.
Because those guys will be making $40,000 to go play in a college game at 19, 20 years old. It's you know, everything's very interesting right now in college athletics. I think, like you said, I think this just adds on to another piece.
I think Caleb Young today got, I don't know if it was a Rolls Royce or something to drive. It's a $150,000 car. That was, you know, just boom, right there. But here's the thing. I know that Gary Barta's kind of getting beat up a little bit. Get it. It probably well-deserved. But on the name, image, and likeness – if there was anybody in the country that you could bring people in and say, you know what, this is the right way to do it with Caitlin and Jordy Bohannon, what they were doing for name, image, and likeness is actually probably what most people had in mind for it. You know, you still get the ability to do that, but you're doing it for the greater good as well. And yep. that's if Caitlin was somewhere else besides here, it probably would be different. But the great thing is too, the second most talked about person in women's basketball is Paige Beckers. If you take Paige Beckers and you have Caitlin Clark and you hold them up there, that's what everybody should be trying to do because they're doing it the right way.
And, you know, Steen, I mean, you and I talked about NIL before. It was, you know, quote unquote legalized or whatnot. And, you know, I've come under heavy criticism from people because I have said that it will turn into a bidding war. And what's going on right now is exactly what was my biggest fear in college athletics.
Yep.
You're buying players. It just that's the way it works. And I think when Jordan Bohannon and Caitlin Clark, you know, Jordan Bohannon specifically, he really spearheaded this entire conversation. I truly believe that's what he wanted. And they want it to be a free market, and I'm all for it. But, man, Fiend, I think we're trying to do way too much, way too fast, and I think it's going to be very, very hard to correct it.
It is. So, and but here's
it,
and
it's going to be very interesting.
When I look at this, because I had this out the other day that where was it? The Big Ten is going to be, because I think the Big Ten's come up before the SEC or the SEC. It's going to be a $1 to $2 billion contract that all the little biggly wigglies and all these conferences and the presidents and the coaches and all that are going to get that money. And nobody's paying a dime, or nobody's watching on TV to see the president of the university or the coach. So the only reason that I'm okay with it being upside down for a while is because it's been upside down for too long.
Exactly. And I think that's a fair point, and I think that's a fair assumption. The NCAA has put more money in to try to prevent change instead of engaging in active conversations to do things the right way. But like everything else in life, Steen, everything always overcorrects. They're going to overcorrect back, and then they'll find somewhere in the middle to make it all worthwhile and work out. That's the way it's going to be. But the next 5 years are going to be very, very dicey, in my opinion.
15 seconds. What can the Big Ten baseball do to be more respected? I don't know.
SEC teams.
Yeah, I don't even.
Then they got to perform well.
I don't even have an answer to that.
It's tough right now.
I love baseball, and I don't have an answer. I don't know what
Rutgers
they can do.
Rutgers should have made this tournament. I will die on that hill. They should have made the tournament.
Got you, buddy. Hey, thanks for coming back on. We're going to start doing it more regular now. I appreciate you, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate it. Take care, buddy.
Yep. David Eichel. Young brilliance right there. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM. I'll be back right after this break.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ.
The entrance ramp is partially blocked, I-235 eastbound at 56th Street, so be alert in that area. Otherwise, I-80 eastbound at the East Mixmaster is running slow at the moment.
Don't play games with your bills. Consolidate them with a 0.99% intro APR home equity line of credit from Community Choice. 0.99% APR for your first 6 months and no closing costs. Get started at unbankwithus.com. Loan subject to credit approval analysis. See credit union for details.
This ad council.
Connect with Steen on sports at 1700thechamp.com. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Drive home safely. Hope everybody had a great day. It's over. Wednesday, it's over. We're on the down low. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, Facebook at 1700 The Champ, website 1700thechamp.com. I'm like a proud make-believe dad having David on this show. He is so good. Youngster is well above where anybody his age should be. He's just that fluid and enjoys what he's doing. Godspeed to that young man. This segment is going to be brought to you by DMOS, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. One more time. Helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. Now, for someone who's 56 years old and still a little, you know, I still get out. I like to play golf. I mow, even though I haven't mowed for a while. I like to do all those things. Every once in a while, you get injured. You want to get back to doing what you were doing. And DMOS has that ability to do. You can go online, DMOS.com. You can see they have a location in West Des Moines, a location in Ankeny. You can see the times for wait. You can also call and say, hey, I'd like to make an appointment. I've got some stuff. I can't get across that last step here. It still hurts. And they will take care of you. No appointments needed, but you can see how much time you have. I haven't looked today, but I guarantee you let me see where I'm at here. That We'll see here in just a, that's not it. There it is, their wait time. So Ankeny is closed right now. They open at 7 a.m. in the morning. Wait time in West Des Moines is exactly 1 hour. That's not long to have somebody take a look. They will take care of foot, ankle, hand, upper extremity, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, trauma, sport med, and urgent injury. Also do a great job in taking care of some high school athletes, some college athletes, some Division III, JUCO. They do a lot for the area around here and making sure that everyone is ready to go. Thank you to DMOS. Once again, thanks to David Eicholt for jumping on. I talked a little bit earlier today about the Oklahoma-Texas softball game. The first two games of this World Series, you couldn't get a ticket if you tried. They're sold out, packed. People are watching in the parking lots. It's a big deal. This after, you know, the NCAA women's kind of went up and said, okay, you guys did not do a good job of taking care of us last year. Same with the year before and how they did with the women's NCAA basketball. And to give the NCAA credit, yes, Steen just said, to give the NCAA credit, they have done a much better job. And, oh, by the way, if you it's like the Field of Dreams. If you market it, they will come, and they did. So that's a really cool thing. Okay, so I've talked about a couple of things I talked about. Thank you for giving me the chance to talk about Alzheimer's and brain awareness, since it is the month. It is a big deal. It's a big deal for me. I kind of glossed over, but talked about Simone Biles and the gals from gym. It's a horrific story. We'll talk more about it when more things start to come out. I kind of want to, there's so many. I was talking about Matthew McConaughey, and if go on Twitter or whatever your social media thing, and just listen to what he said today. He is not anti-gun. He's not pro-gun. He's a hunter. People said stay in your lane. Well, he is staying in his lane. He's a Uvalde. He grew up there, so he is staying in his lane, and he gets to stay in his lane because he's recognizable. And when someone's recognizable and is trying to do a good thing, we seem to have issues with it. When people are recognizable and because of something they've done that's bad, it seems like they're poster boarded everywhere. So I'm not saying I agreed with everything he said. I'm not going to say I don't agree with everything he said. That's for you to decide. I'm not trying to push a position on anybody. I just want you to go on there and see it. Just like I wasn't pushing. You know what? I think the PGA Tour, and they have one reason and one reason only that they are where they're at. And it's not because of the PGA Tour. It's because of Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods has done more for the PGA Tour than anybody ever. And yes, I'm talking about Jack, who I love, and Arnold, who I love, and Lee Trevino, and Gary Player. Tiger Woods brought people into golf that have never watched golf. He's put golf courses in places no one's ever played golf. Allowed Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, and Nick Faldo, and all those guys to put golf courses where no one thought there should be golf courses. Because he brought these people in. The PGA Tour didn't bring all these people. There's more coverage on TV because of Tiger Woods. There's more money involved in golf because of Tiger Woods. Now, the one thing that they could be very happy for is Tiger Woods wasn't somebody that was enticed with Greg Norman. And I actually think that the simple fact that it was Greg Norman that was doing this probably hurt more than ever, because Tiger Woods and Greg Norman don't get along. Greg Norman was very outspoken when Tiger was younger. A lot of the other guys bought in and said, oh my gosh, look where this young man can take us. He didn't. He fought it. And he lost. And so he, because the PGA is not the be-all, end-all here. They're not perfect. Don't think they're perfect, because they're not. And it is, they still have a lot of work to do, and they still have a lot of different things that they can do. I still don't think they do enough. They have some characters. They have some great people. They have some people that don't want to be in the spotlight. They have people that do want to be in the spotlight. I think they need to show more of it on TV. I think they need to have it be more open. I think there's a lot of things that golf can do. But if today Tiger Woods said, you know what, I'm going to go do that too, then you watch people and see how the PGA fiddles. Because it would be a whole, you know, Patrick Reed and Bryson DeChambeau going across, and Dustin Johnson he's part of this group, but he's always been the silent part of that group. He's a family guy. He's with the Gretzky's. He beats to his own drum. Brooks Koepka's the exact same. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, but I would not expect anything major to come of that tonight. You have the third game. Third games are always extremely important, especially if you're a visiting team. If you can pull this win, that it alleviates some of the pain in the NBA. Here's the thing that I don't like about the NBA, and I don't like it about the NBA because they've been out and trying to get in front of this and then have everybody talk about it today. The biggest thing that everybody talked about the last game was early on, Draymond Green and Jaylen Brown kind of got into it, kind of were stepping and hanging on each other and all that. And everybody made a big deal about it, that they didn't give him another technical or now. And Draymond's going to be Draymond. Listen, on the basketball floor, you're either going to love him or hate him. Social media-wise, if you haven't listened to his podcast and heard him interview people and see how people interact with him, stars interact with Draymond Green, you're missing. His life after basketball is going to be anything he wants in the social media world. He's that good. So what's the NBA do tonight? Well, with all this, you know, turmoil and everything, we're going to give Scott Foster, he's going to be the lead official tonight, so he's going to be able to control the situation. Scott Foster is the worst NBA referee that there is on the floor. I think Scott Foster is the best leader of the referees. I think he keeps them in line. I think he does keep games moving. He has that. But he's not the hammer, folks. He doesn't have that much respect. And he's not a great referee. And to be really truthful, I think he overshadows the other referees that do the games with him. And I think it does him more harm than good. But so the NBA, instead of the NBA coming out today and saying, you know what, guys, we need to calm this down. We need to, no, we're just going to put Scott Foster in charge tonight. If Scott Foster comes in tonight and the first thing out of the box, there's some John going on and he gives technicals and then something happens down the road and he gives another one and someone gets kicked out of the game, heaven forbid it be somebody from Boston on their home floor. But if it's Draymond Green, it's going to taint the NBA because the reason that everybody thinks that Scott Foster is the head referee tonight is because they want him to make sure nothing happens. And he's probably going to make something happen because of it. I just want them to play basketball and I want them to allow them to play basketball. I don't like the pushing and shoving. I don't like the non-freedom to get through a screen or any of that. It's hard to watch. And these are two extremely talented teams that if they just let them get in a flow, it would be very enjoyable to watch. Emi Udoka, who is the coach of the Boston Celtics, man, I like him. I liked his interviews today. Did not know that he was engaged to Nia Long until today. Actress. He's got it going on. He's one of those guys. That is going to change how the NBA maneuvers. I think Nick Nurse is another. I think there's a few coaches that no matter who they have and no matter who they play, they can game plan. I think here comes my 56-year-old brain working. The Miami Heat coach, and it'll hit me here in a little bit. I think he's that way. I thought Quinn Snyder was that way, and Quinn Snyder is going to make somebody a really, really good coach. I think what Quinn Snyder decided was the Utah Jazz as an organization doesn't want to do anything with Devin Mitchell or Rudy Gobert, and I can't coach two people that don't get along and won't pass the ball and don't talk to each other. So if the organization isn't going to do something about it, there's no way that I can do something about it. So I need to move on. And they're not going to, no matter who they hire, they're not hiring a better coach. It's just not going to be. And that's too bad. But I am very curious to see how this game tonight, the first two quarters, how it's going to be refereed. And if it was not refereed correctly and you have a big, if you have a big gap at halftime, or if it's a tight game at halftime, how do they come out after the second half and how do they referee that part? I think all of that, is going to be an extremely, extremely big deal. Here's a really funny thing that I read today, that Matt Eberflus, who is the new football coach for the Chicago Bears, said today that in the short time that they've been working together, that Justin Fields' footwork and timing are so much better than what he saw on film from last year. So that's coach speak. What's it coach speak for? This is what I wrote down. Real words, Bears coaching staff was terrible and allowed bad habits to grow and stunted his growth, that it's taken us longer than what we thought to get him to a point where he's back to ground zero. I still think it's going to be a learning process for him, but I think the coaching is going to be so much better that I think you're going to see an improvement right away. And I think that's needed, because where they're at and where they were, oh boy. This is also the best thing. And I said it earlier today too. Rory McIlroy said this, and I think Rory went through this a little bit in his life when he was first starting out, and then now he's married, has a kid, and gets this. Any decision in life you make that is purely for money usually doesn't end up well. And I think that is the honest to God truth. That if that's the only reason that you're doing something, then it is you're in trouble. Most valuable franchises in the NFL. It's pretty easy that you knew the first. It's Dallas Cowboys. The New England Patriots are $5 billion. I did not know that. I don't know how good a stadium they're in. I don't know all the particulars. The New York Giants, new stadium in New York. The Rams, new stadium. Denver Broncos just got purchased. So, you know, the next team who gets purchased by somebody new is going to be the next newest one in the top five. How long do I have? I have enough. Well, no, I'm going to save that. This is going to be, I have another one that I really enjoyed a saying today. And it meant a lot. And then we're going to go in this last segment on Steen on Sports today. I'm going to do a debate on the top five defensive players of all time. And I got two lineups, and I want you to tell who would win in a game in the NBA. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We'll be back right after this break.
101.3 FM. By Brady and the Ad Council.
Brewed in Des Moines. You're listening to Steen on Sports, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Last segment of this Wednesday. Once again, please drive safely home. Enjoy the evening. It's gorgeous outside. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ as well. I want to thank David Eichold for coming on today. Did a great job. Such a good sports young man. Does he have a career ahead of him? I want to thank the sponsors of the show: Des Moines Orthopedic, Demos, Heritage Building Maintenance, Northwest Bank, Palmer Group, Woodman Controls, iCubs. Couldn't do it without them. Wouldn't be able to just sit here and talk my way through stuff without the ability of having somebody helping get that through. Couple of notes. I'm off for the next three Fridays. I have two outings, and then I can't. I have a. Riverview. I have there's a concert at Riverview. I have that on a Friday. Then the following, I think Wednesday, I'm at Zoo Brew at the zoo. So I'll be off a couple of days there. Just keeping everybody up to date on things that are going on. Hit all that. Minnesota Twins right after this, they're playing the Yankees. I had to put on Twitter, I'm like, man, I'm a Minnesota Twins guy. I love the Minnesota Twins. They're playing the Yankees. The Yankees, that's my team. So I gotta, I'm torn here. Martin Luther King. I read this and I thought, wow, I wish we would all buy into this, like people were beginning to. Back when he said this, he said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." And I X'd and put a circle, you know, all the political nonsense that goes on nowadays, the ability for people to, in the social media world that we live in, and even live on interviews on, you know, when they're on talk shows or whatever, that they think that they have the right and ability to say whatever they want to say with no repercussions. I'm fine with them saying whatever they want to say, but they should have repercussions. And when the repercussions come back from maybe questioning you or saying, you know, what did you just say? And do you really believe that? And for them to say, well, you're just being political and no, man, this is you have to be able to explain yourself. You know, that's the thing I guess I miss the most about politics. I used to watch politics just to watch politics, to listen to people speak on what they believed in Congress or out on a talk show with people of differing opinions. You can't even do that on TV anymore. You can't bring two people in. They have to bring them in separate segments. Now, the people that are up on the thing are kind of split between Republican and Democrat. But you can't bring a Republican and Democrat, or it doesn't even have to matter. It could be two Democrats. It doesn't matter. You can't bring them on the stage together because all they do is fight and scream and yell at each other without having to prove a point or prove a statement or explain a statement or explain a position. You can be a politician and have a position and not have to explain it to anybody because you just don't. You just go, no, I'm not going to do that. What we've allowed ourselves to get into is crazy. Okay, I saw some people today. It was Marcellus Wiley and Emmanuel Acho. I'm a huge fan of both of them. Here is their top five defensive players. Marcellus Wiley's was Deion Sanders, Bruce Smith, Reggie White, Sean Taylor, and Aaron Darnold. So it had one guy of now. I can't disagree with any of what he had. Emmanuel Acho had Reggie White, Lawrence Taylor, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, and Luke Kuechly. Now, he's getting pummeled on the Luke Kuechly. But in football world, people will say Luke Kuechly was the best tackling linebacker of all time. Sean Taylor and Ed Reed. Ed Reed was Sean Taylor reincarnated. I like that. Deion Sanders took half the field away. Now, I don't know if he'd be able to do that in the he still would be a Hall of Famer even now, but it's tougher for him to, I mean, there's so many different ways that they run offenses now. No way would I want to play against Lawrence Taylor, no more than I would want to play against Ray Lewis. I think Lawrence Taylor and Ray Lewis was Lawrence Taylor reinvented, but bigger and more of a run stopper. Reggie White was amazing. I don't know how you can fight against either one of those. Either one of those decisions there. They're both really, really good. So then this came up today, and it was, who would win in a game between these two teams? On one team is LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Kevin Durant, Charles Barkley, and Shaquille O'Neal. On the other team was Magic, Steph Curry, Kobe, Larry Bird, and Tim Duncan. I don't know who would win. I have my pick, and I'll give it to you here in a second. But boy, would it be fun to watch. I love Shaquille O'Neal, but Shaquille O'Neal's game it wouldn't work as much nowadays because of the ability to play zone, the ability that he can't move people out of the way like he did. This has always been my Shaquille O'Neal thing. He's a bigger commodity outside of playing than he was while playing. If you have him in the top 20, I'd be okay with that. A lot of people have him in the top 10. I'm not okay with that. I mean, you compare Shaquille O'Neal to Tim Duncan, there's no comparison. Shaquille O'Neal couldn't be in the last part of quarters or halves or the end of the game because he couldn't shoot free throws. That's deafening. That's Dennis Rodman can't be in the top 50 because, and sometimes he's there, but he can't be in the top 50 because he didn't do anything. He rebounded and played defense and made people angry. That doesn't make you a top 50 player. Here's the one that most people have a disagreement with, would be my Larry on Charles Barkley. I love Charles Barkley more than anything, and he was an amazing basketball player. He wasn't as good a basketball player as Larry Bird. That's my take. I get to have that take. If in this particular thing I'm comparing Magic and LeBron, LeBron's more physical. He's a physically better athlete, and Magic is the ultimate team guy, leader guy. If you're looking at Steph and Dwayne Wade, I love Dwayne Wade. I think Dwayne Wade was a great player. He's nowhere near Steph Curry. And if you're looking at Kobe and Kevin Durant, I think that because that's how they lined up, right? I'm taking them on how they lined up when I wrote them. If you take Kobe and Kevin Durant and you take them 10 years ago, or you start your team tomorrow and you could have either one of them, number one, you can't go wrong with either one. I think Kobe is better than Kevin Durant because all Kobe cared about was winning. No matter who he hurt, no matter who he made angry, no matter what, Kevin Durant wants to win, but the reason he wants to win is so it makes his brand bigger. If you tell me who is the most physically gifted person in this grouping, I will tell you right now, it's Kevin Durant. He's 7 foot tall and does the things he does. But that doesn't make you the best player. It doesn't make you the best. It just makes you the best. I mean, Shaquille O'Neal is a physical specimen. And he's maybe 7'1". Kevin Durant's 7 foot and can do everything that Shaq can do except for knock people over. It's amazing. LeBron is the same way. LeBron is a defensive end that plays in the NBA. It's incredible. He's probably closer to a tight end, but he has defensive end tendencies. LeBron's biggest downfall or drawback sometimes is himself. Today he's out there, you know, I'm getting down to these last couple of years. You know, it'd be really fun to get to play with Steph Curry. dude, you can't do that. You can't say that. Michael didn't go, oh, man, you know what? If I could play with this dude, it would even be more fun. Michael wanted to beat people up. I didn't like that today at all. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott tomorrow. See you then.